Walter Tyson, a budding radio engineer, paid a call on Major John S. Cohen, president and editor of the Atlanta Journal.
Major Cohen, I have an idea I think you'll like.
Well, what's that, young man?
The Journal needs a radio station.
The Journal needs a what?
A radio station. Major, it's a coming thing. Already there are one or two of them broadcasting in America. You talk into it and it sends the voice out over the air for hundreds of miles.
Well, sounds interesting, all right, but even if there was a use for it, son, how do you know such a thing would even work?
Oh, it would work all right. I used to fiddle around with wireless sets while I was in the Navy. Well, Major, you could put all the latest news out in the air for the people to hear. And you could give the farmers the market reports and the weather forecast and the bankers the stock report. And say, when you made a speech, hundreds and hundreds of people would be listening.
Well, might be all right. Yeah, might be all right.
Yes, back in those days, a lot of people wondered, and even more doubted. But the Journal went ahead with plans to construct a radio station. On March 15, 1922, the United States Department of Commerce wired the Atlanta Journal permission to begin broadcasting operations under the call letters WSB.
Hello, everybody. This is radio station WSB on the air for the Atlanta Journal. Covers Dixie like the Jew. And now for your entertainment, we present the First Presbyterian Church Quartet, directed by Dr. Charles Sheldon.
Yes, that was radio in 1922, and the people were listening. Not many at first, for there were only a few receiving sets. Probably less than 100 people heard that first broadcast. Immediately, the Journal was sold on the idea of broadcasting. Now came the job of selling the people.
All right, folks, all right. Now, if you'll just step in a little closer here. My name's Harry Doherty. I'm an engineer with radio station WSB. Here in my Model T truck, I've got a radio receiver hooked up, and in just a few minutes, you'll be able to hear programs on it.
Hold on there, young feller. You don't mean to be telling me that right here on the courthouse square in Forsyth, I'll be able to hear folks up in Atlanta, do you?
That's right, mister. Just as soon as I get it tuned in.
Now, look, friend, I don't mean to be accusing you of nothing, but I reckon it's how it just ain't possible to hear nothing that far away.
Listen.
Hello, everybody. This is the Atlanta Journal radio station, WSB in Atlanta, Georgia.
I don't believe it.
I have the weather forecast for you, and in a minute I'll give you the cotton market report.
You ain't a fooling me, you young whippersnapper. That's a graphanola record.
You can look at the back of my truck here and see that there's no talking machine of any kind.
I reckon it's how you're right. But say, what's that wire running up the courthouse steeple? Have you got a man up there doing that talking?
Well, mister, you can plainly see that there's nobody up on that steeple. If he was, he'd fall right off. Say, I'll tell you what. You go over there across the street to the telegraph office and get the 2 o'clock cotton market reports. And when you get back, I'll have the same report right here.
All the cotton reports. They just came in on the telegraph.
Okay, mister. Now take a look at my reports. See? They're exactly the same as yours. Now how are you going to explain that, except that I heard them over WSB?
Well, I'll be. You know, that's plumb amazing.
That's a true story, and we have Harry Doherty, chief engineer of WSB, here to verify it. Right, Mr. Doherty?
Yes, but that doubting Thomas wasn't by himself. Very few people would believe radio was possible back in 1922. The very fact that we could transmit and receive the human voice through the ether seemed too fantastic.
Unbelievable or not, radio grew, and the little voice of Atlanta became a voice known to the nation.
Stand by, everybody. We're about to go on the air. You visitors, please be quiet.
You know, this thing is simply amazing. I just don't see how it works.
Quiet, mister, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help wondering what sort of genius built this radio station. I've come all the way down from Detroit, and this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Well, mighty nice to have you down south, sir. My name's Anderson. Didn't get your name.
Ford's my name. Henry Ford. Nice to know you.
Yes, radio fascinated the famous, too, in those days. And even in 1922, some of the world's greatest stars were beginning to appear before the WSB microphone.
Gosh, look who's coming in here.
It's Rosa Ponsell.
Now, Miss Ponsell, you just sing into that little box there, and your voice will go out into the air where thousands of people can hear you.
Oh, my.
Now, Miss Ponsell, stand by. We're about ready to go on the air. Shh. Quiet, please. And now, ladies and gentlemen, station WSB presents the famous Metropolitan Opera star, Miss Rosa Ponsell.
Miss Ponsell was accustomed to singing rather loudly in the opera house in order to be heard by hundreds of people. But now she was reaching out to thousands of listeners, and she sang accordingly. Louder and louder and louder. It took the WSB engineers 3 hours to get the transmitter back on the air again. And then there was the time that Rudolph Valentino, the movie idol, came to Atlanta. In order to present his story to the public, he sought out any means by which he could talk to the people, and so in Atlanta, he naturally came to WSB.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rudolfo Valentino speaking to you. It is indeed a pleasure to be here in Atlanta.
Quiet, ladies, quiet. You can't come in here. We're broadcasting.
Dogwood Blossom.
I know it. I heard him.
Ladies, please, please, I'm trying to make a speech here.
Rudy, let me touch you. Oh!
My goodness, she's fainted.
About this time in the history of WSB came a young man with a pleasing personality who was destined to make his mark on the radio horizon. Ernie Rogers, producer, writer, and entertainer.
Well, folks, here I am again. I've been ad-libbing for 54 minutes while the Independent Quartet, originally booked for this spot, is still asserting its independence. So bear with me while I sing another song. Maybe you'll like this one. Have you ever heard about Willie the Weeper? Had a job as a chimney sweeper.
The people liked it, and Ernie made records for Victor and Columbia. At the same time, WSB was busy making records itself. In 1923, the Voice of the South established the first interstation radio concert, featuring bands such as Coon Sanders and their orchestra from Kansas City. It sounded something like this.
The Coon Sanders Nighthawks Orchestra. Some of these days.
Thank you. Another band that was wowing the folks in Atlanta back in the early 20s was led by a hefty young man named Paul Whiteman. He featured a quartet called the Rhythm Boys. And one of its members was a promising but little-known singer named Bing Crosby.
Hey, people, you should come to Arkansas. Meet a friend of mine, old Aunt Phoebe Long. She's known to everyone for miles around. Will help you when friends forsake you and troubles bear you down. For those who come her way are blessed when they hear her say, "Tain't so, honey, tain't so." Spoke to the Lord and the Lord said, "No, tain't so, honey, tain't so. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. Tomorrow will bring something good, I know, tain't so. I mean it just ain't so. Makes no difference what your problem may be. Just look up, brother, and I'm sure you will see. Tain't so, honey, tain't so. The devil said yes, but the Lord said no. Tain't so, honey, tain't so."
Another WSB personality you may recall sounded like this.
This is Red Cross, the redhead from Macon, WSB's hired hand in the earliest 30s. When Olson and Johnson and Nick Lucas were playing at the Fox Theater and appearing on the old Transcontinental, when Bobby Jones was making his radio debut for Listerine with O.B. Keeler, and Macon's own young stripling was being scattered around the world and interviewed on WSB by Guy Butler, and at the Capitol Theater, Carter Barron presented a radio extravaganza featuring Lambden Kay and Ernest Rogers, and a spindly-shanked little gal who was called Tootsie, who later grew up to be Dixie Dunbar. And there were a couple of piano players on the same bill, Cross and Bartlett, doing a two-piano arrangement of Flapperette and Nola. You know, with memories like these, wedged in between recollections of my play-by-play detail of the Tech High and Boys High football games, and the coverage of the Cracker games that I gave in 1930, somehow or other, I find recollections of the past right pleasant. And it sure was fun and a great radio experience at WSB.
There was more to radio than just entertainment, however. As a medium for the dissemination of news, WSB holds the distinction of having broadcast the first on-the-spot newscast in radio history.
Now, this is station WSB of the Atlanta Journal, signing off for the afternoon. We'll be back in just a moment, folks. Say, something's on fire, and it's... Why, it's the big Iceman store on Whitehall Street. It's just outside my window. Look, friends, it's catching so fast it doesn't look like they'll be able to save it. Why, wait a minute. Firemen have arrived, and now they're trying to get some water on it. Oh, you should see the smoke billowing into the air. Flames are rolling.
Yes, that was radio's first on-the-spot newscast. And the Literary Digest devoted a half-page story to WSB for its comprehensive coverage of the event. WSB has other famous firsts, too. The first radio wedding, the first school of the air, the first audience participation show, and the first station ever to use a musical device on a station break. Back in the old days, it went something like this.
This is your Atlanta Journal station, WSB in Atlanta, Georgia.
This idea was later adopted by the National Broadcasting Company and is now heard round the world as the famous Silver Chimes of NBC.
This is NBC. The National Broadcasting Company.
Yes, radio was growing, and WSB was pushing ahead. From the original 100 watts, it eventually became the 50,000 watt clear channel voice of the South. Always with eyes on the future, WSB applied for an experimental television license in 1931, a forerunner of our sister station, WSB-TV. Take a look at the 50-odd plaques of honor lining the walls at WSB, and you get some idea of how the voice of the South has tried to serve its listeners. For always, through the years, WSB has worked to serve the interests of the people in Atlanta, in Georgia, the Southland, and the nation. There have been many exciting moments, too, such as the world premiere of Gone with the Wind in 1939. And right along with the famous celebrities was the familiar WSB microphone.
Hello, everyone. This is Roy McMillan along with Hugh Ivey speaking from the WSB mobile unit. You've heard from Brad Ansley and Bob Pollock as they met the celebrities out at the airport. Right now, we're going to switch you to the Georgian Terrace Hotel. We understand that the leading cars in the parade are approaching that point. We'll switch you there for a word description of the events taking place.
This is Walter Paschal at our vantage point from WSB here at the Georgian Terrace Hotel. We're waiting now for the parade to arrive with the stars, and judging from the excitement of the crowd, it oughtn't to be long. This is, without doubt, one of the great events in Atlanta's history. And I had somebody comment a few minutes ago, there are more movie stars in Atlanta today than there are in Hollywood. And I wish you could see the thousands of people jamming every inch of Peachtree Street. But the parade is approaching now. There they are, open cars, even on this cold, winter day. Right in front, there's Vivian Leigh, smiling to the crowd, Laurence Olivier. And there's Carol Lombard with her husband, Clark Gable. Bill Hartsfield, waving to the crowd.
Wherever news has been made, WSB has been on the spot. Perhaps the biggest news of all came on a quiet Sunday afternoon in December of 1941. And on the following day, a grim, determined audience sat huddled before their radios, listening to a familiar voice.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Throughout the war years, Southerners depended on WSB more than ever for news from the fighting fronts. Such familiar names as Walter Paschal, Doug Edwards, Brad Ansley, and many others broadcast daily frontline reports. The familiar voice of Atlanta Journal editor Wright Bryan, in service as a wartime correspondent for NBC, brought dramatic news from Normandy.
This is Wright Bryan speaking from London. In the first hour of D-Day by British double summer time, or a little more than an hour before D-Day began by Greenwich Mean Time, the first spearhead of Allied forces for the liberation of Europe landed by parachute in northern France. In the navigator's dome in the flight deck of a C-37, I rode across the English Channel with the first group of planes from Troop Carrier Command to take our fighting men into Europe.
Down through the years, the voice of WSB Radio has brought into the living rooms of the people hours of inspiring religious programs, hours of educational broadcasts, and many happy hours of gaiety and laughter, music and song. Who could forget this lovable character?
Hello, Rudy.
Oh, yeah, how are you?
You want to buy a duck?
No, Joe, I don't want to buy a duck.
Why?
Because?
Well, maybe your brother would like to have one, huh?
I haven't a brother.
Well, if he had one, you think he'd consider it?
No.
Under no circumstances?
Under no circumstances.
You nasty man!
Yes, Joe Pinner. Want to buy a duck? Out of the early names in radio, there are few that are remembered as well as that of Ben Burney with his inimitable singing style and friendly feuding with Walter Winchell.
I don't know why all them oil companies have to go to Ethiopia for gas when it would be just so easy to lay a pipeline direct to Winchell, if you know what I mean.
This is Ben Burney, the voice of experience speaking. Elsa, and now the time has come to lend thine ears to au revoir, pleasant dreams. Au revoir, pleasant dreams. think about when requesting your beans. Au revoir, a fond cheerio, a toodle doodle, a bit of a tweet tweet, God love you, and pleasant.
And to the list of unforgettable radio personalities, let's add this name.
This is Eddie Cantor. I want to join the many others who are congratulating WSB on its anniversary. WSB has been broadcasting almost, but not quite as long as I have been in show business. So, congratulations to America's radioactive station, WSB.
Nor can we forget the little man with the big nose.
Now, even when things go wrong, now you feel better, you even look better. Wait a minute, stop the music, stop the music. There's something wrong with the orchestral harmonics. Maestro, I'd like to hear each section separately. Nothing wrong with the trumpets. Let me hear those flutes. Nothing wrong with the flutes. Let me hear the whole band. Just what I thought, the drummer is snapping his bubble gum in the wrong key.
And here is the voice of George's own, James Melton.
This is James Melton. When I was a little boy, living down in Florida, I heard WSB from a crystal set on a line, a wire that I hung up between two trees in our backyard. WSB is the first station that I ever heard in radio, and I think it's just great that they've gone on to become one of the really outstanding and fine stations of the United States.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a word from the managing director of WSB and of all the Cox radio and television stations, Mr. J. Leonard Wrench.
You know, radio has become such a vital part of our daily lives that most of us are inclined to take it pretty much for granted. We know it's always there, at the flick of a switch, from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to bed. And we depend on radio to keep us informed, enlightened, and entertained. That dependence and confidence in radio places a great responsibility on any radio station if it is conscientious and sincere about serving the needs and the wishes of the public. And I am proud to say that radio station WSB has always taken seriously its obligation to operate in the public interest. Let me give you a few examples. Shortly after it began operation in 1922, WSB brought to the South for the first time fine religious services, educational programs, comprehensive newscasts and weather reports, concert music, sports, variety hours, and countless other valuable programs. And in succeeding years, WSB continued to pioneer, being first in the South with a 50,000-watt station, first with network service, first with FM, and first with television. But while it has grown in size and years, WSB has managed to still be as near, as friendly, and as helpful as your next-door neighbor. And we are grateful for the loyal manner in which you have welcomed WSB into your homes throughout the years. As we move forward into future years of broadcasting, all of us at WSB pledge that we will continue to provide the best in radio service. And we will do our utmost as a good citizen in working for the betterment of Georgia, the Southland, and the nation.
I am the servant of the people. I am known for the information I bring, for the emotions I stir, and for the joy and pleasure I spread wherever my voice falls. I am yours to enjoy. Listen, and I shall serve you faithfully forever.
Voice Speaks has been a special anniversary salute presented by WSB Radio. The cast for this program included dozens of men and women in every department of the station. Announcers, engineers and writers, secretaries, stenographers, and many others. We wish to thank them for their cooperation in presenting this history of the Voice of the South. The Voice Speaks was narrated by Jimmy Bridges, written by Mike McDougald, engineering by Andy Bellinger. Directed by Jerry Vandeventer. Bob Van Kemp speaking for The Voice of the South.